We're going to be talking about what the Lord saved us for. Not why he saved us or what he saved us from, but what did he save us for? What did he save us to do? Go forth and spread the word. Witness. What else? Amen. We are, the word tells us in Ephesians 2 and in the book of Titus, we are saved by and created in Christ Jesus for good works. Good deeds. Amen? So hopefully we've asked ourselves the question, what did he save me for? Let's pray before we get into it. Lord, we thank you. We are so grateful. We're so full of thanks and gratefulness and praise for all that you've done. We just can't say enough for saving us from the penalty of sin and especially the power of sin, filling us with your Holy Spirit, making us new creations in Christ Jesus so that we could do the good deeds that you had already planned beforehand for us to do. You already have them all laid out for us and planned for us to do. We just need to be able to recognize them, walk in them, and be obedient and do those good deeds that you planned for us to do, even before the foundation of the earth. You have our whole life mapped out. But we have to walk hand in hand with you. We have to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. We have to be seeking you and walking with you, Lord. So help us to do that. And as the word came forth today, the scripture that you gave me to close the message with wasn't even the one I had. I had to write down when I got here is pretty much what Kathy just shared from the Spirit of God. So we love you, Lord, and help us see how important and profitable this is, important it is to you, and how profitable it is for us to continue to do the good deeds and works that you've called us to do. And I'll just add to that what Eve shared last week. she gave a word saying, we've got to get to the point where it's all about God's agenda, not our agenda. Do you remember that? And I'm not saying that as a word of condemnation, obviously, or to any. I believe that many of us do that. But I think we can always take it a level higher, don't you? I know I can. I know there's a few more levels that I can go up to be able to do, make sure I'm doing God's agenda. Just in case you didn't know, I'm not perfect, and I don't do it all the time, okay? No, some of you already knew that. Have you ever asked yourself, what on earth did God save me for? As I said, we're not asking why he saved us, how he saved us, what he saved us from. We know what he saved us from. He saved us from the penalty and power of sin. He saved us from the grip of Satan and bondage to sin. He redeemed us and he purchased us with himself, with his own blood, because he loves us so much. But what we want to really ask the Holy Spirit to teach us today, and you all already answered it, we know it, is that God saved us by grace through faith in Jesus, made us a new creation. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Make us new creations in Christ. Give us the power of the Holy Spirit. Bring us into his kingdom. Make us his child. Put his Holy Spirit within us. Now that he's done all that, what are we supposed to do with it? What am I supposed to be doing here on earth for him while I'm waiting for him to come back and take me home? So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm just going to read verses 1 through 10 because it explains everything that he did for us. Where we were, what we were doing, why he saved us, and now what he saved us for. In the past, you were spiritually dead because of your disobedience and sins. At that time, you followed the world's evil way. You obeyed the ruler of the spiritual powers in space, the spirit who now controls the people who disobey God. Actually, all of us were like them and lived according to our natural desires, doing whatever suited the wishes of our own bodies and minds. In our natural condition, we, like everyone else, were destined to suffer God's anger. Children of wrath, it says in the King James. Aren't you glad you're not a child of wrath anymore, but a child of God? Hallelujah. But God's mercy is so abundant, and his love for us is so great that while we were spiritually dead in our disobedience, he brought us to life with Christ. It's by God's grace that you have been saved. In our union with Christ Jesus, he raised us up with him to rule with him in the heavenly world. He did this to demonstrate for all time to come the extraordinary greatness of his grace and the love he showed us in Christ Jesus. Again, for it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. It is not of works. It is not of yourself. It's not the result of your own efforts, but it is God's gift, so that no one can boast about it. And here we go. God has made us what we are. King James says, created us in Christ Jesus. So in other words, God has made us what we are, and in our union with Christ Jesus, he has created us for a life of good deeds, which he has already prepared for us to do. Don't you love that? He has already prepared them. When I was going through this and doing this message, the Lord was just giving me examples. I can point to every one of you in here. But Kathy and Diane, the deeds that you're doing for Harvey, guess what? God planned those. He knew that Harvey was going to need you guys. I believe that he planned that. Pete, the good deeds that you've been doing for people in the church, things you've been doing because you just have a heart to love the people, they were planned. They were planned. Dan, when you met Thomas, I'm sure you had no idea where that was going. But you knew he needed help. But those deeds were planned. I believe. Do you believe that? Everything that happens in our life is planned by him. He knows what we need. And that's why it's so encouraging, the message that Kathy just shared. And I'll just go ahead and share that verse now. Sometimes those deeds they're hard. They're heavy. They take a lot of work. They take a lot of strength. And sometimes you wonder, all this sowing, is there really going to be some reaping? Is something coming from this? Does anybody ever feel that way sometimes? And that's the verse that the Holy Spirit gave Kathy, but it's also the verse he gave me this morning when I got here and told me to share. That is in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 8. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived by your own reasoning. Do not be deceived by the devil. Do not be deceived by anything. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And verse 9 says this, and do not let us grow weary while doing good. For in due season you will reap if you do not lose heart. Amen? Do not lose heart. Continue to do good deeds. Continue to sow into the people's lives that God has put in your sphere of influence. Amen? Again, in Titus, this is a really powerful one, and it says it probably clearer than any other scripture why Jesus came to save us. It is such a powerful. Titus chapter 2 talks about, it just point blank specifically tells us this is why he saved us. So let's look at Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Titus 2, verse 11. For God has revealed his grace for the salvation of all people. That grace instructs us to give up ungodly living and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this world. As we wait for the blessed day that we hope for, when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will appear. Listen to this. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people that are what? Zealous for good works. Look, it can't get any simpler to understand than that, right? He's telling us specifically. And I love the part where he says, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Remember, redeem us, redemption. That means he paid for us with his blood. Says in Revelation chapter 5, he purchased men and women from every tribe and nation with his blood that they might serve him and learn to be kings and priests in his kingdom. He had to purchase us. But I love that it says, to redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. He had to purify us. Why did he have to purify us? Because you remember what Paul said in Romans 3, what the Bible says about men? There is none good, not one. We had no goodness. We couldn't do anything good. We could do something good, but it had no value to God. Our righteousness before we come to Christ Jesus is what? As filthy rags to him. But now that we've come to Jesus, he's purified us. When we do good deeds, they're really good deeds because God sees us doing them through his son Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Just as Jesus was on earth, so are we now. Amen? So he came to give himself that he might redeem us from all iniquity, purify for himself a peculiar people. And let me tell you, we are peculiar. That just means special. It doesn't mean anything bad. That word actually means special, valuable, very valuable to him, very special to him, that are zealous for good works, on fire to do good works. This is a little bit from John Gill's commentary, but I'm going to share it. We are his own special people, whom he loves, and for him, for whom he has given himself, that he might sanctify and cleanse us from all sins, which he has done by shedding his blood for us and washing us in it, which cleanses from all sin, and he has purified for himself, filled us with the Holy Spirit for his own use and service, for his pleasure and delight, and to his glory. Now we, his people, for whom Christ has given himself and whom he has redeemed and purifies, are his special people. Christ has a special love for us. He takes a special delight in us. Listen to this. Receive this from the Holy Spirit. He grants a special nearness to himself. We can literally come into his presence. He literally live and dwell in his presence. He lives and dwells in us now. That's how near. You can't get any closer to us. He bestows special blessings on us because we are his special people. He makes special provisions for us. Amen? And that's for time and all of eternity. For right now, and all of eternity, you are his special, chosen, loved, specially loved people. All of us are. We are Christ's own. We're his possession, his body. And we are, as the word also signifies, an excellent and valuable people now. We weren't that before we came to Jesus. But we are now. Amen? You are valuable. You are special. He wants you to know that. Amen? Not because of anything we've done, but because of him. Because we're in him, and he's in us, and he has given us a purpose for living now. We're Christ's portion and inheritance. You are his special treasure. You're his jewels. That he values very much and, thank God, takes care of. Amen. We are who are redeemed are purified by Christ through the power of his grace upon us. And by the power of that grace, we become a people that are zealous for good works, good deeds. And we don't do these deeds for our justification and salvation. Everybody knows that, right? You don't get saved by your works. You get saved by faith, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But when you get saved, you get born again, you get filled with God's Spirit, you become a new creation in Christ, your nature changes, and you have a desire to do the good things that God has planned for you to do. Right? So that's why we do the good works, to demonstrate that we are saved, that we have been filled with his Spirit, that we are now a new creation in Christ Jesus, that he is living in us, working through us. We do it simply to be in obedience to his will and to testify that we are his servants, that we're full of gratitude, we're grateful to him, and we all always do it for his honor and for his glory. We not only perform them, but we perform them from principles of truth and love and with zeal for the glory of God and for the honor of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? So what are these good works that he's called us to do for his glory and pleasure? Well, first of all, we know that there are spiritual works that he's prepared for us to do before the foundation of the world for his glory and pleasure, witnessing, using our spiritual gifts, some of the things you were mentioning, healing, casting out demons, ministering to each other, all of those things. And there, all of our gifts are used to build up the body of Christ and minister to one another. These are very important. But sometimes we focus on our spiritual good deeds for God at the expense of the practical good deeds that he tells us to do in his word. So there are spiritual deeds that we do. Most of those concern ministry and building up the body of Christ, ministering to the lost. But there are a lot of practical good deeds throughout the New Testament that Paul tells us to be constantly doing with each other, especially in the body of Christ. So what are some of these practical deeds that he tells us to do for each other? Well, there's no greater chapter for me to explain what we should be doing with our lives and how we should be living our lives after we have truly understood what God has done for us by grace, through faith, through his Son, Jesus. Romans chapter 12. Turn to Romans chapter 12. This is really what a picture of a true conversion should look like. This is what happens in revivals. If you've ever read about a lot of the revivals, when people get truly, radically saved, born again, and filled with the Holy Spirit, they get this instantly. Hey, I understand. The Holy Spirit's given them such illumination and such revelation of what Jesus did for them. They just drop to their knees and they're willing to be living sacrifices and serve him and give their lives to worship him, to praise him, to serve him, to do whatever he brings into their life. That's what they're willing to do. And that's what Paul tells us to do in the first two verses of Romans 12, right? Let's read it. So I beg you, brothers and sisters, because of the great mercy God has shown us, I'm using a more modern version, offer your lives as a living sacrifice to him, an offering that is only for God and pleasing to God. I like that. I like that version. When we offer ourselves, we're doing it all for God and it should be pleasing to God. We're only doing it for Him. We're not doing it for ourselves. We're not doing it so everybody will say, oh, look at Lauren, what a super preacher, what a great evangelist, and everything he is, and all the people he's bringing in. And no, I'm not doing it for that. We're doing it for God, and we're not doing it to please everybody else. And we're doing it for God, for His glory, and we're doing it to please Him. Amen? It should be the only reasons. The devil is tricky, though. I mean, we've all seen multitudes of ministers who have given in to the deception and the trick of the enemy, where they just get so puffed up with pride, and the enemy comes in and just does things that probably would have never happened had they done everything that they were doing if it was for God only and to please God only. Amen? Considering what He has done, it's only right that you should worship Him in this way. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to understand and accept what God wants for you. He emphatically says you will be able to know what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect. When you offer yourself to Him as a living sacrifice, when you cry out to Him that you understand how much He loved you, what He did for you through His Son Jesus Christ, when you tell Him, I want to serve you, Lord. I want to do that which is only pleases you. You'll be able to, believe me, He's going to help you understand His good, acceptable, and perfect will for your life. Now, I'm not going to read the next 7 verses. Let's go down to, because they're more spiritual gifts. But let's go down just to the list of the practical good deeds that He tells us to do. We'll start in verse 9. These are practical things that we're supposed to do. But we can't do them in our own power. They can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit by someone who has truly been born again and filled with the Spirit of God. Love must be completely sincere. How are you doing on that one? Hate what is evil. Hold on to what is good. Love one another warmly as Christians and be eager to show respect for one another. These are just all practical deeds, but they're still good deeds that He wants us to do. Work hard and don't be lazy. Serve the Lord with a heart full of devotion. Let your hope keep you joyful. Be patient in your troubles and pray at all times. Share your belongings with your needy fellow Christians and open your homes to strangers. Practical good deeds. Things we're supposed to be doing. And things that I see going on in the church. But let's keep doing them. Don't give up on them. Don't get tired of doing them. Don't grow weary of doing them. Amen? Ask God to bless those who persecute you. Yes, ask Him to bless, not to curse. Be happy with those who are happy. Weep with those who weep. Have the same concern for everyone. Do not be proud, but accept humble duties. Do not think of yourselves as wise. If someone has done you wrong, do not repay him with a wrong. Try to do what everyone considers to be good. Do everything possible on your part to live in peace with everybody. Never take revenge, my friends, but instead let God's anger do it. For the Scripture says, I will take revenge, I will pay back, says the Lord. Instead, as the Scripture says, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them a drink. For by doing this, you will make them burn with shame. Do not let evil defeat you. Instead, conquer evil with what? With good. With doing good. God saved us through Jesus and poured out His Holy Spirit upon us so that we could become just like Jesus and conquer evil with good. Remember what Peter testified about Jesus in Acts 10:38. This is what he said. That God has poured out on Jesus the Holy Spirit and power, and he went everywhere doing what? Doing good. Doing good deeds. Doing good works. Some of them were just practical and some of them were spiritual. He went everywhere doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, for God was with him. Amen. Why am I stressing this? Well, because Paul told Titus to make sure to tell everybody to do that. So let's look at Titus chapter 3, verse 8. And he gives us the reason why we need to keep doing good deeds. The practical ones and the spiritual ones. But there has to be a balance, right? You can't just focus on the supernatural ones, as fun as they are all the time, and just focus on that. He wants us to be balanced. He wants us to be like Jesus, constantly doing good and ministering to each other in practical ways and constantly using the power of the Holy Spirit to minister to each other also. So Titus chapter 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm what? Constantly. Paul must have thought they were pretty important. Actually, the Holy Spirit must have thought it was pretty important for us to do this, do these good deeds all the time, because he says, constantly affirm these things. Constantly remind us that we need to be doing these things. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Why? Because these are good and profitable to men. They're good and they're profitable to men. Not only to us as we do them, but as we sow, we'll reap also. But as we sow into their lives, we do the good deeds that God's planned for us to do beforehand. It is profitable. Everybody gets blessed by it. Amen? Paul also told us in Philippians 2, verses 12 through 16, you must continue to live in a way that gives meaning to your salvation. Do this with fear and respect for God. The King James says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Yes, it is God who is working in you. He helps you want to do what pleases him, and he gives you the power to do it. We are constantly being prompted by him to do things that please him. And he also gives us the power to do it. But we have to work with him. We have to cooperate with him, right? When he prompts you to do it, don't let reasoning or fear, or even if it sounds crazy, you know, if God's prompting you to do it, he'll give you the power to do it and get it done. Do everything without complaining or arguing so that you'll be blameless and pure, children of God without any fault. But he reminds us that we are living with evil people all around us, who have lost their sense of what is right. You say amen to America on that one? But among those people, you are to shine like lights in a dark world, and you're to offer them the message of the gospel that gives them life. Do not let evil defeat us, but let's conquer evil with good through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Remember, God has made us what we are, and in our union with Christ, he's created us for a life of good deeds, which he's already prepared for us to do. Just like Jesus, God has poured out his Spirit on each one of us, given us his power so that we can do good by conducting ourselves according to his word in the practical areas of our life. And he has made us his own special people who can use our spiritual gifts to serve him and do good deeds to bless the lost and build up the body of Christ. Everything we do is because we love him who first loved us, and we do all of these deeds simply for his honor and his glory. What did Jesus tell us? Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen? Amen. Father, we love you and praise you. And we are so grateful. Jesus said that he came to give us life, not just life, but abundant life, a full, meaningful, purposeful life. And there is no greater life than following your plan for our life, than doing all the deeds that you had planned for us to do. And we can do that as we walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, as we follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit, as you constantly help us to do, try to remind us to do the things that please you, and then you give us the power to do it. So we declare we're going to walk in your will and in your way, and we're going to do the deeds, continue to sow into people's lives and do, because we're not going to give up. We're not going to grow weary because we trust in you, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen.
Amen.